showtime.
It's time for that radio show everyone loves.
Do not attempt to change the station. Just listen, and we'll keep broadcasting.
It's time to begin the show.
103.9 LI News Radio presents Your Island, the very best in talk radio, with your host, Tom Shalero.
And once again, welcome back to our second hour here on Thursday. And as we all know, that is our Eye on Crime segment. Now, this segment of our program is being brought to you by the Suffolk County Patrolman's Benevolent Association. The PBA serves to support law enforcement, participate in special events and programs, all designed to help protect our community. They care about you and keeping us all safe, from the anti-drinking and driving campaigns to protecting our children with education on the Megan's Law. PBA promotes a great relationship between the police and the people it's sworn to serve. Suffolk County is one of the safest counties in the country, and the PBA takes pride and a strong belief in our security. They have honored our fallen heroes and contribute greatly to our suburban way of life. Need to know more? Go right to www.suffolkcountypba.org. Noel DiGirolamo, president. And as we know, on these Thursdays when we talk with members of the Suffolk Police Department or within the criminal justice system, there's so many different ancillary aspects to police work, to this police department, one of the top 15 police departments in this whole country. And today is no different. I'll tell you, I learned from this, and there's so many different things that are going on. And we're talking about a partnership between the police department and Stony Brook University, a university hospital. Just great folks over there, and many of you know from I've spoken about this back in 2013. I was in a very, very, very bad trauma accident. I was actually ejected from an automobile, and it's a situation that a day in my life doesn't go by when I don't think about it. But I also think about what happened at that event. I was picked up by a Suffolk County Police Department helicopter, flown to Stony Brook University, and from that point on, for the next 5 weeks, received the care that you cannot absolutely imagine. They're safe. Saving lives over there. And I'm happy to announce that in this studio right now is Dr. Scott Coyne, returning to this show. Scott has just been an invaluable aspect to talking about some of the things that go on, particularly with the MedCat unit. He'll talk about that. Chief Surgeon, Medical Director, Suffolk Police Department, Dr. Scott Coyne. We have Colby Rowe with the Trauma Center, Division of Trauma and also Outreach over there at Stony Brook University. And Dr. James Voswinkel, just meeting him for the first time, most pleased, Trauma Medical Director over there at Stony Brook University Hospital in critical care. An unbelievable conversation. I'm going to start with you, Dr. Scott Coyne, the Chief Surgeon, Medical Director, Suffolk Police Department. What's been going on? Some good things. You guys have been recognized.
Yes, the Suffolk County Police Department MedCat team was recognized by the United States Department of Justice this year and received an award in May in Washington, D.C. We received the Department of Justice Valor Award of the Police Memorial Fund. And they recognize the MedCat team as one of the best tactical medical teams in the country.
And that's your thing. I mean, that you, I'm going to say, I hate to use the phrase, that's your baby, but it is.
Yes.
I mean, you went there with a vision thinking, how could we save lives? And,
yes.
and the three people in this room do that.
Yes.
Okay, when we think about the coordination of events. I know that everyone's going to be somewhat humble and so on, but we have, you hear me say, Suffolk County is one of the safest counties in the country. But that includes, it's a great place, and I say this facetiously, to be involved in a trauma because you're probably going to have your life saved.
Yes. Well, the MedCat team is, 28 officers now trained to the advanced life support level as paramedics or critical care providers. But all Suffolk County Police Department officers are trained as New York State certified EMTs, which is very unique in this country, that a whole department, every police officer is an EMT. And they give invaluable assistance day to day, in the field, whether it's an auto accident, a cardiac arrest, any type of a medical emergency, or surgical emergency. We train continually at the department. We have a recruit class now. They're going to be trained as EMTs before they graduate. We work and align ourselves very closely with our level one trauma center, Stony Brook University Hospital, which is the level one trauma center in Suffolk County. We deal with all of the hospitals, but the major trauma goes to the level one trauma center by definition. So we've gotten a very good partnership, and that's what has led to these collaborative agreements and relationships of teaching. We're talking about bleeding control, and it's been just a great partnership.
Right. And again, I'm going to put stuff out there to the people that are listening, that there's a way in which they could learn about how bleeding control, which is, I think they call it the BCON program and so on. I'm going to go over to Dr. James Voswinkel, Dr. Voswinkel, trauma medical director over at Stony Brook Trauma Center. And, you know, that's, to me, I could speak differently than most people because I was there. I went through the whole process. I didn't volunteer. It's something that happened to me at the time. One second, everything is fine. Next thing, and you have a life-changing event. And during the first moments of that life-changing event, I'm meeting you folks. And I can remember what had to be done there. I mean, as far as the overall objectives, as far as the trauma center is concerned, give us some viewpoints on that, because I know what the objectives are, but, you know.
Correct. Well, first of all, it's a lot nicer meeting you this way
than
when we did at work. And thank you for having us on the show. You know, so Stony Brook University Hospital, the trauma center, we are the regional trauma center. We provide comprehensive care in every aspect of trauma. We're prepared for the worst of the worst. And we are here to provide the citizens of Suffolk County with the best possible care that can be done for modern medicine. We're staffed to accommodate it. And part of that staffing is also going out into the community and trying to prevent trauma. So one of the major reasons here we're here talking today is a program called BCON. It stands for Bleeding Control. On the website, bleedingcontrol.org is the point. It's being spearheaded by the American College of Surgeons and Homeland Security. We have a big public health issue in this country about hemorrhage. So while there's been a lot of work done for CPR for cardiac arrests, for having defibrillators for cardiac arrests, Heimlich maneuvers and choking, we unfortunately haven't put the efforts with bleeding control. Obviously, mass casualties bring it to light. When we have these mass casualties and we've talked to some of the unfortunate victims, we have found out that people have died from compressible, controllable, life-threatening hemorrhage. There are basic skills that we are trying to get out with other trauma centers, with other providers nationwide to prevent that from happening.
Okay, and that's the focus of, again, our discussion, because I find it fascinating that it's always towards the health and the safety of the folks here in Suffolk County. And I can't underscore that more on how well we do that, but nothing's ever 100% or perfect. We're just trying to strive to get things better. I think that's wonderful. Our number here is 631-451-1039. Talking about the way in which we respond to whether it's mass casualties or trauma here in this county and how successful that we are. I just want to shoot it over to Colby Rowe, Trauma Center Education and Pre-Hospital Outreach Coordinator. Your role in this whole thing, I mean, again, when you hear outreach, you're out there with the folks.
Right, right. So, again, thank you for having us. My role in this is actually putting it out there to the general public. I came on board with the trauma service after over two decades as a paramedic at Stony Brook, working outside of the emergency department, working with the Suffolk County Police Aviation Section. And I came over to trauma, and Dr. Voswinkel said to me, I want you to go teach BCON. It was a new thing. It still is relatively new out here in the community and nationally. And I took to it, and I have to tell you, the community, the general population, is absolutely loving this. So my role is to get it out there into the appropriate avenues, such as school districts, you know, places of public transit and things like that, anywhere where there might be large populations or soft targets, if you will, of potential terrorism or active shooters. And we do really want to underscore that while it's this whole rollout of education, this whole curriculum is designed based on active shooters, specifically Sandy Hook was the impetus for this entire thing, that it's you're more likely to need this or use these kind of skills in education, this knowledge, if you hurt yourself at home or at work.
Okay, interesting. Now, so the average person out there can actually learn some of these techniques.
Definitely, definitely. So we've trained upwards of 3,000 people, close to it. Since October of 2016, we rolled it out into our first school district out in Deer Park, and then shortly thereafter in Shoreham Wading River School District, Three Village School District, Patchogue Medford, approximately 20 school districts. The general population, the feedback has been, what an amazing class, and it's not because of us. You know, I like to think it might be sometimes, but the curriculum is good. It's short, it's concise, it's to the point, and people end up walking out, whether it's on a survey or by word of mouth, telling me, wow, I really can do this. And they also realize that it's not your basic first aid class. We have many people that say, oh, I took that. I was an EMT, or I was this, you know. It takes it to the next level of that severe life-threatening hemorrhage. And it's so important because that's what you really need to reinforce, because that's the life-threatening stuff.
You know, what comes to my mind, and I'll have all three of you gentlemen if you want to respond to this, is just watching all that, the news footage of Las Vegas. Here's we have 500, probably about 500 people injured. You had 58 people that were deceased. You folks, I know, watched this whole thing. There were people that were ripping shirts off and trying to do first aid, because we always talk about first responders, but the first responders are the people that are there,
right?
You know, the civilians, the people that are not trained. And here's an objective here, is to actually go to that level, the real first responders.
Right. And if I could address that just real quickly, the starting point of this whole thing was Sandy Hook, but it also it spearheaded the White House to say, let's get all these professionals in the room, from law enforcement, trauma surgery, emergency medicine, into the same room up in Hartford, Connecticut. And they came out with a document called the Hartford Consensus. Within the Hartford Consensus was a review of the Department of Justice study, which looked at all the active shooter incidents from 2000 to 2013. Mm. There's 160 active shooters in that time span, and about 1,080 or so victims. But there were more survivors than there were fatalities. And that tends to be the trend in these kinds of incidents, and we've seen it this year. We've seen it since then, in 2014, 15, et cetera, where there's been about 20 active shooters per year. All right, and it's gone up. But yes, you're right. If we can train the public, the people that are there, to take action, like we saw in the Boston Marathon.
Yes.
Although not an active shooter, lots of the people, if you Google the pictures there, it's lots of the general public took action.
Yeah, and you know, again, my fear is that they're not having the proper training, even though circumstance, life circumstance, is now putting you in a situation where you could now save a life. And I think, again, this whole concept of BCON and so on, I'm thrilled with it. I'm going to be honest, I'm learning this today for the first time. My number here is 631-451-1039, talking about a mass casualty, whether it's active shooters or a terrorist attack, and the fact that the people there are the ones that are responding. And this program that exists with the partnership with the police department and Stony Brook University Hospital to get to get us moving on the right track. You know, Doc, what do you? I mean, is this what inspired MedCat?
Yes, it's one of the impetuses for MedCat. Statistically, At a mass casualty incident, for instance, this week we had the Texas shooting. Las Vegas was only a month ago.
Yeah.
We had a truck attack in New York City.
Exactly.
The primary cause of death of the people we can save is hemorrhage. Okay? So it's been shown over and over again. So sometimes these patients have, minutes, very few minutes to live. So It's like bystander CPR. We know that people who begin CPR before rescue gets there, before the police get there, if they start CPR, those patients have a much higher likelihood of living. It's the same way here. Before rescue or the police arrive on scene, if we have bystanders beginning hemorrhage control, that will lead to the survivability of the victims.
Now, let me ask Dr. Voswinkel, is the chance of a person becoming or losing their life more so than needing CPR or from hemorrhaging?
Hemorrhage is the leading cause of death following trauma.
So we've recognized this problem.
Absolutely.
I'm very optimistic about this. I think this is this done anywhere else in the country?
So, as I said, we are in the early stages of pushing this out. This is a national agenda. Very fortunate in Suffolk, with the police department, with our emergency services, which is mostly volunteer, that we provide great care. This is the next step. So we know we provide great care. We know that when people are injured, our first responders are there. They're showing up to help people. They're bringing them to good trauma centers like we have here. What's the next step? Let's stop the trauma. Let's get the individuals, the initial responders, the civilians at the scene involved to even give us better outcomes.
631-451-1039. I'm going to take a call. We got Michael over there in Calverton.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good, good. Yeah, thanks for calling in.
I'm a listener. I have a question. I'm visually impaired and some of my friends are blind. How will we go about learning special triage and all this stuff, just in case we're involved in an incident like this.
You mean as a visually impaired person?
Yes.
Okay. Give it to our outreach coordinator.
Yeah.
So you're talking specifically about how to learn how to do triage or triage others around you, triage yourself, given your impairment, or?
Yes, because, you know, I just recently lost my sight. You know, I was basically trained corpsman when I was in Marine Corps 30 years ago. I was wondering, how do you go about this if we're blind or visually impaired, if we're involved in accident, people around us are falling and injured?
It's a very good question.
Yeah,
it's a very good question. I could tell you that I've had people in many of my classes beyond bleeding control, even doing some of my more advanced like airway management things, where, you know, if people had some sort of impairment, we would definitely work with them. Impairment or non, not everyone is welcome to come to any one of my classes. I'll work with you specifically, one-on-one. We have a cache of instructors that come with us, not just with the police department. We work with the other trauma centers. We work with the fire departments, local people as well, and give you the best training possible. It's absolutely possible. It's possible for you to recognize that life-threatening hemorrhage. It's possible for you to learn the skill, which is relatively easy. Not really crazy about that.
Okay.
It's possible for you to learn how to take a pulse and assess whether there is perfusion or, you know, blood getting to the outside of a an extremity, the far outermost point, as well as applied direct pressure. So you absolutely could do the skill, visually impaired or not.
Michael, thank you for your phone call. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, too.
631-451-1039. Yeah, that's an interesting concept. You know, when you get a phone call like that, you start to think, well, it's not that people are saying, should I get involved in this? It's people want to get involved in something like this, no matter what a particular drawback might be. Scott?
Absolutely. I agree. That was a great phone call because we have so many different people of society with so many different skills or limitations. And what BCON is, it's about identifying exsanguination hemorrhage, identifying that even if you're visually impaired, there's ways to do this, about how do you apply direct pressure, how do you apply a tourniquet. These are simple skills, and expanding it to the impaired visually, hearing, or otherwise is easy to do. So I think that was an excellent phone call, and I think it's an area that it needs to be expanded on.
Yeah, again, you know, and interesting enough, I think people know about tourniquets. I think people know about that, but I don't think they know how to do it. Because you hear that all the time. I was a police officer of 22 years, retired from the Suffolk Police Department. I remember coming on many accidents, trauma situations, and seeing people trying to do first aid, but they really didn't know. And the fact that this is available is just very, very gratifying.
Correct. And what's really good about the course is it makes it simplistic. And actually, during the course, not only do we show people the commercially available tourniquets, how to put them on, how to explain and desensitize, but we also actually have bleeding control models where we actually have civilians pack a wound and stop the hemorrhage. So, as you said, you approach something new. You've never done it. There is going to be that human intrinsic trepidation stopping going into things. So the whole course is to desensitize you, to make it simple, so in that emergency, people can react and they can do the right thing.
Okay. Doc, I mean, this is just incredible.
Yeah. We all of our police officers in Suffolk County carry tourniquets on their belt. They have it's called combat application tourniquet.
Is that relatively new? Because I don't remember doing that.
No, it's a new program. We began it 5 years ago.
Okay.
So
okay.
All the police officers are trained in something called tactical combat casualty care. We rolled it out 5 years ago, and now all of our patrol officers are trained, and support service officers and detectives are trained in tactical combat care. So how this interfaces with what Stony Brook is teaching with us in the bleeding control, the bystanders, the civilians, will begin control of the bleeding before police enter the scene. When we enter the scene, everybody's been trained in TCCC or tactical combat care. They're learned to give care under fire. So they have to balance off the threat in a criminal situation with giving medical care. So it's a balance. We have to address the threat, and we have to give medical care. So it's called CUF, or care under fire. We teach that intensely to our police officers. I'm very proud to say that they get it. Yesterday, we had in 2nd Precinct, yesterday, there was a gunshot wound, and one of our officers applied a tourniquet and saved the person's life. up in Melville area.
Now, would that be something that, let's say, if there wasn't a police officer there, that a civilian could do that, Colby, as an inspector?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the goal behind the entire thing, is that the civilians would be able to take action, and part of this class is us teaching them, if you don't have a tourniquet, a commercially available tourniquet, what do you do? Well, you improvise one.
I saw people ripping off their shirts at Las Vegas.
Yes, yeah, they did in Las Vegas. They did at the Boston Marathon. You know, interesting. 27 tourniquets placed at the Boston Marathon. There were 66 amputations. 27 tourniquets were placed. All of them were improvised.
Incredible.
Because 25 years ago, we were told not to use tourniquets.
And we almost learned from these horrific events and make it to the point that more lives can be saved. We're going to take a short break. I'm your host, Tom Schlew. Excellent show, folks. We have Dr. Scott Coyne, the Medical Director of Suffolk County Police Department. We've got Dr. James Voswinkel, Trauma Medical Director, again, Stony Brook Hospital, and Colby Rowe, our outreach coordinator over at Stony Brook also. Great conversation. Our number here is 631-451-1039. Lot to talk about, lot to learn. We're going to be right back.
Your Island, live and local, with your host, Tom Shalero, on 103.9 LI News Radio.
And once again, welcome back as we round third, heading up to the 2 o'clock hour. Now, this segment of our program being brought to you by the CSEA. That's right, the Civil Service Employees Association. They are New York's leading public service union, people working together to make New York a better place for all of us. CSEA represents 265,000 workers in New York State. 48,000 can be found right here on Long Island. They are your bus drivers, groundskeepers, and clerical staff. They plow and pave your streets, clean your office buildings. They provide child care and care for the mentally and physically disabled. From Buffalo to Brookhaven, CSEA members work hard for everyone. They never quit serving our communities and fighting for the working folks. Nick Lamorte, president. Get right back into an absolutely fascinating show. And we're talking about the partnership between the Suffolk County Police Department, the medical director who's here, Dr. Scott Coyne. You've heard him on this show before. Just very innovative. The MedCat unit, just incredible. Let's put it this way, folks, those of you who are listening right now, that if, God forbid, anything ever happens to you out on the street, and we all pray that this nothing ever happens, that our success rate here in Suffolk County is incredible because of the professionals that we have at Stony Brook University Hospital, the professionals that we have on the police department. It's quite evident. Now, in the studio, once again, Dr. Scott Coyne, Colby Rowe, Outreach Director for Stony Brook University for the Trauma Center, and also the Medical Director of the Stony Brook University of the Trauma Center, too, Dr. James Voswinkel. Now, I don't even know where to begin. I'll go right back to our Chief Surgeon with the Medical Director. There was a real need. Now, you just gave, during our commercial break, you said that the number of 911 calls, I even found that interesting, because I keep remembering domestic disputes, but in many cases, that turned into a trauma.
Yes. So the question was, how many of our calls are medically oriented or trauma oriented? Probably over a third. If you look at auto accidents, medical emergencies, heart attacks, diabetic incidents, and so on, allergic reactions, all types of industrial accidents, the one third of our emergency calls are medically oriented.
Mm. So, I mean, what we're doing here, though, is we're actually bringing in the people.
Yes.
You know, to be part of this. I've always looked at this relationship because in many cases, I can remember going on to emergency calls and the first thing command dispatch, do you need rescue? And that was pretty much, do you need an ambulance there with medically trained people? And now we're actually creating, and I always thought of that as the family, that we always had that ability as police officers. Mm-hmm. Now it's extended to MedCat, that we now have police officers highly trained to deal with that. Now what I'm learning today is that we are now bridging that gap to the hospitals, okay, to Stony Brook University Hospital. Again, from personal experience, as I said earlier, phenomenal, absolutely the best. We should all be proud to live here because of that hospital. And then we take it to one step further, Colby Rowe, who is the Trauma Center and Outreach Coordinator, to bringing in that family of everybody,
which is
the way I see it.
And if you don't mind, you use the terminology I use in every single class, that this course is designed, this initiative, this campaign is designed to bridge the gap from the time somebody starts bleeding till the time of the arrival of first responders. And that could be crucial time. That could be a very short time, but it also could be a very lengthy time, depending on the response of the system where you happen to live or where you happen to be injured. And crucial amounts of blood, critical amounts of blood could be lost. And it's not just blood. It's clotting factors. It's oxygen. You know, it's so the time you go into shock could be very quickly, or it could be very, you know, could be a little bit more extended. But why risk that? You know, let's train as many people as possible.
And that's an excellent point, because you could come across anybody. Oh, I took my CPR class. I got my CPR class. Just about, what, 75% of the people may say that. But nobody is claiming this. And I think we need to start thinking along that paradigm, if you think about it.
Yeah, and that's the initiative, you know, behind this entire initiative in that Hartford consensus. If anyone ever has read it or wants to, it says we want to bring that kind of military feeling to, you know, or military medicine, essentially, back into the communities here for this very reason of active shooters and mass casualty. Sad, so, but that's the society we have to
prepare for. I
want to
put that out to those people listening that you might want to maybe raise the eyebrows a little bit and say, maybe this is something that I ought to take on for myself, whether through the civic associations or the school districts or so on. Are we reaching out? How do we reach out to the community other than the schools that you mentioned?
Well, when I started doing this, I actually just made cold calls, cold emails, cold phone calls to superintendents of school districts and such, reached out to a handful. It was approximately 70-plus school districts in Suffolk County alone, and you know, that's where I made my focus. Interestingly enough, active shooters historically are they target educational areas second. All right, it's usually areas of commerce, shopping malls, movie theaters, and such. A little harder there to get into, you know, to get outreach time there. So the schools welcomed us, and unlike other things we've tried to do in schools, they have absolutely embraced this course. I could tell you that, you know, Three Village School District, for instance, they have a goal of training 100% of their faculty and staff.
Incredible.
Not just teachers, not just custodians, not just bus drivers, 100%. And in turn, they followed up, just like Smithtown and Patchogue Medford have done as well, and others, have gone out and actually equipped their schools now by purchasing trauma kits that have special hemostatic gauze that speeds up clotting, as well as tourniquets, and put them in their AED boxes, which is what we recommend.
So there would be supplies available, and that can be gotten through.
Yeah, the knowledge is useless without the actual supplies.
Exactly. Right? I just want to see, is there a phone number? If somebody's listening right now, a civic association or a school district or a school superintendent, what phone number would you?
Well, there's a variety of different means. First of all, if they wanted information, they could go to the Stony Brook Trauma Center website, which is we can actually, if we could make that available on the on your site, that would be great. But they could also go to bleedingcontrol.org, all right? Or they can call me. Call me direct. It's 631-638-2861, and I'm happy to give them information. We will be posting more courses. We've just finished a slew of them, but we'll be posting more, and you know, also adding.
And I'll put the number out there too, 631-451-1039, if you want to join our discussion, or if you need further information, just leave your name and number with Brian Merrims, our engineer, and we'll get right back to you. This is that important.
If I could interject briefly too, this is all being done as a public service initiative. There is no fee, there is no cost for these courses. You know, this is being done, as I said, we're spearheading this with the police. Your other trauma centers are providing these courses. You know, it's important. It will save somebody's life sometime. And as we all know in life, life is unpredictable. So I urge everyone listening to really consider calling, getting involved. The courses are out there. They're free of charge. They're brief. Maybe about an hour of your time is all that's needed, and you're going to learn a truly life-saving skill.
You know, you say life is unpredictable. Right after the Las Vegas shooting, within 2 days, I had somebody call in who was there, was at the concert, California resident. His name was Joe Napoli. Doesn't mind me using his name. And he talked about the experience, and we had him on for a whole segment of this program. And many of the listeners were following in his eyes what he did. And even though he had his wife with him and was trying to get her to safety, instinctively, he stopped to try to aid people that were severely injured. And again, he had some training, but not enough to, I think, you know, bring it to the point where to try to do all of that. And when you said life is unpredictable, they went to a concert that day.
Correct.
You know, and that's all they were doing, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, this sort of thing happens. You know?
And in New York City, they were riding their bicycles.
Riding their bicycles on the west side. You know?
Unpredictable and horrific.
And in Texas, you know, in this little town of several thousand people in a church, that many people were killed.
Yeah.
You know, so these incidents are completely unpredictable. Accidents are unpredictable. Industrial accidents are unpredictable. So you never know, and That's what we do, and that's why we're rolling this out, because this is a real public service that they're providing by this education. When these situations happen, when somebody is bleeding as I teach the police officers, the clock is ticking and time is against us. Time is against the victim. You don't have a whole lot of time. So the sooner somebody can lay hands on the victim and stop the hemorrhage, which is the leading cause of death in these situations, they're going to save a life.
And if we could have a time machine and go back 10 years, and I can remember even when I was in the academy before the 10 years, and phrases like mass casualties, active shooters, that was not part of the vernacular.
Right.
And today it's commonplace among our police officers. You know, I think about the young officer Ryan Nash over there in Medford. I mean, he takes the test to become a city police officer. Next thing you know, he's involved in a jihad with a jihadist. You know, I mean, they're getting into a gun battle. And it's not what we thought. It wasn't the way it is. And I think we're evolving to a point where there is a Dr. Voswinkel and a Colby Rowe getting involved in a situation that's an offshoot of that. And, of course, what you've done, and Scott Coyne, medical director over there at the police department, to get a MedCat unit going. And one other thing, and you guys are giving me so many ideas, and I'll be quiet because I want to hear more from you, that and we were talking during the break with Dr. Voswinkel. When we think of a town, I think that town in Texas was like 600 people. And I think, first of all, those cops that responded, the police officers, dedicated police officers who responded like 6 minutes later, didn't have MedCat training. No. Nothing like that. I mean, so there's almost a point. It depends, and you said that, Colby. I mean, it also where you're from and where you live.
Yeah, definitely. You know, population density. You know, whether this program has gotten to your area in the first place. You know, the American College of Surgeons has a overall goal of training 300 plus million people nationwide. We're making a nice dent in that.
Yeah.
We're pretty clustered area here. So we're not just doing it here. We're reaching out to Southampton. We'll be working with Southampton Town Police as well relatively soon. We'll be doing our initial classes and then rolling out through their police department some other communities, community organizations as well.
And I think one of the reasons that Dr. Coyne's special MedCat unit was recognized nationally is just this answer right here, because they realize the value to it. And which brings me to the next point. Are you getting inquiries from all over the country, from places like these small towns and parishes that exist throughout the country?
We get inquiries. I've spoken nationally about it. And being down in Washington, D.C. in May to receive the award on behalf of the team was a great honor.
Yes.
From the Department of Justice, recognizing the importance of a sort of a medical SWAT team, the MedCat team. You know, it's rapid response, saving lives. And we're talking about time here. As I mentioned earlier, our police officers carry tourniquets. In every one of our precincts, we have a special tactical car, and they carry additional hemorrhage control equipment. MedCat does. So this is a real important focus. It shows the importance of this. And if we can train bystanders, train civilians before we arrive on scene, those are critical minutes.
Exactly.
I can't emphasize that enough.
And our number here is 631-451-1039 in the minutes that we have left, talking about the whole concept of bleeding control, which can save lives. And I'll go back to Dr. Voswinkel, trauma medical director at Stony Brook Hospital. Places that are remote, can a program like this get started so that it's effective? I feel safe here in Suffolk County because I know what we're capable of from a firsthand experience. But, you know, when you talk about these areas like what occurred at that small little sleepy town church with trauma that you couldn't even imagine, we couldn't even imagine that, unimaginable, let's say, can this be brought past Suffolk County?
Absolutely, and that's one of the goals of the initiative. Just to briefly mention Suffolk County. Everyone who lives here should feel very blessed. You know, we have the best police force in the country. They are involved not just in criminal pursuits, but obviously medical pursuits. We have 100-plus volunteer ambulances where our neighbors are volunteering their time to be that first responder. Nationally, what we're trying to do via the internet, via your local hospitals, the trauma centers, is to make this the same initiative that CPR is. In your rural areas, we've reached out CPR. We've reached out the Heimlich maneuver in almost every cafeteria in this country for choking. So the next step is, and there's actually posters if you go to bleedingcontrol.org, which shows the very simple algorithm, what to do, what is life-threatening hemorrhage, and how do you proceed through. So this program is being rolled out for everyone so that it can have that penetration throughout the country and attain the goal of the 300 plus million.
I think that should be a goal, you know, considering what we're able to do. Doc?
Yeah, Tom, we've been training fire departments, rescue squads,
okay,
in this hemorrhage control, and also the tactical situation, you know, the mass casualty criminal situation, the active shooter, the machete attacks, the truck attacks. We've been actively training all of our rescue squads, ambulance companies, fire departments, because they have to know how to respond as well as we have to know how to respond, because we collaborate, we cooperate, you know, we coordinate with all of them. So we really are all getting trained in this, and it's moving along, thanks to the help of Stony Brook, at a very quick rate. And their outreach to the communities, to schools, to civic associations is really just, it's great.
You know, Colby Rowe, the outreach director, I think you have a lot of responsibility in this whole thing.
It turned out.
How many people do you think you've reached at this point, and have any news or stories ever gotten back to you that, hey, wow, I learned this and I had to do it?
Sure. Actually, yeah. It's funny you should mention. We've trained, I think I mentioned, close to 3,000 people here in Suffolk County alone since October of 2016. Like I said, the general feedback up front is very good, you know, and as far as stories, I could tell you that we had one school district who had, we were in the process of making plans almost a year ago, just a little over a year ago, right before Election Day. We're making plans to do a class the Friday before Election Day, and I'm on the phone. He says, yeah, we'll do it in a couple months, the security director. Great guy who's been very helpful with this. He called me on Monday and said, could you please come tomorrow? So they had an incident where a kid had put his fist through a trophy glass window and had an arterial bleed on his forearm. And you know what they said to me, what is spurting all over the lockers, and it took the assistant principal and the school nurse about 10 minutes to control that bleeding. And he did well. The bleeding ended up being controlled, but you don't want to take that chance of potentially bleeding out 10 minutes.
Dr. Boswinkle, 10 minutes is a long time. No,
10 minutes, depending on the size of the artery, could be game over. Patient passes away. But on the positive side, you know, being sort of at the end of the game when people come in, we are seeing more and more people with packed wounds, more and more tourniquets applied. So we are seeing the results of this initiative from the first responders, even from some initial responders being civilians. So it's starting to make a difference. And this coincides with all the modern medical literature. It's very clear that if you lose X amount of blood compared to another person, the more blood you lose, you have a higher chance of dying.
Yes.
It's as period as that. And then to mention another point, which Kobe just reminded me of, blood thinners nowadays. Mm. We have so many elderly people on, whether it's a Coumadin, an Eliquis, a Xarelto. These patients are going to bleed a lot more rapidly, and your normal direct pressure isn't going to work. So if we think about this increasing population as we've made strides in heart disease and in stroke care, these people really and their families really need to know these skills to help save their lives.
Okay, we're going to take a call, 631-451-1039. We've got James over in Calverton. James, what do you say?
One thing I don't understand is the first responders, they take care of these people, and then you go to the emergency room in the hospital, and the same person is sitting there waiting to go before the emergency. It was a big emergency to get to the hospital, and then you go there and sit and in an emergency room bleeding. To me, that doesn't make any sense. And that's happened. I do construction, and I've had experience where everybody knew what they were doing, but when they got to the hospital, they just sat around in the emergency room for half an hour waiting for the hospital.
Well, James, I was in that situation at Stony Brook University Hospital on October 1st, 2013, and I did no waiting. My life was saved immediately. But thanks for the phone call. Now, you know, again, I have to say that the efficiency of our system here in Suffolk County is second to none. And I'm going to say that emphatically, and not just as a former patient or a former trauma victim, but as a police officer, and I've seen it a million times.
James's call, I can see where he's coming from, but that's our trauma system now advancing. So these situations don't occur anymore. I don't know if it's an anecdotal situation that he's talking about. The other major issue the public should know, not every hospital is a trauma hospital.
Okay, that's
so
very true.
So very simple. Out east, until recently, within the past year, our East End hospitals, none of them were trauma centers. So it was really relied upon about the Suffolk County Aviation Unit, their helicopter, to bring everybody east of Stony Brook to fly them to Stony Brook because we didn't have trauma centers out east. So I could see maybe where James is coming from being out in Calverton. However, he should know and the public should know that our trauma system is advancing. What we're talking about with this public initiative is only part of the end when the hospitals are integrating. They're all developing specialists in care so that people will get the best care at any hospital.
I'm going to let Colby, do you have a final word?
Yeah, just to throw this out there again, I also agree that our trauma center and emergency department is second to none. What I wanted to point out, and just throw back real quick to the gentleman that called with the visually impaired, we noticed that there was no Spanish version of this. All right.
Okay.
And given that the Spanish communities, actually statistically speaking, most people die from hemorrhage in industrial accidents, and most of them are Spanish-speaking, Mexican-born. So we took the initiative and we had it translated into Spanish. They're now going to be using this nationally and internationally.
More people involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Scott Coyne, you put this wonderful show together. We got like 30 seconds left. I'm going to have you.
Police officers and our EMS squads work very closely with all of the hospitals in Suffolk County, depending where they are, which precinct they're in. And they know the trauma system. They know which injuries should go to Stony Brook, which should go locally. They know how to control the situation and make these triage decisions accurate. That is critically important for a system.
Once again, with Dr. Scott Coyne, Chief Surgeon and Medical Director, Suffolk Police Department, Colby Rowe, Outreach Director for the Trauma Center, and Dr. James A. Voswinkel, Trauma Medical Director, Stony Brook Trauma Center. Once again, thank you for joining us, and everybody have a great and a safe day. 2 o'clock upon us. That's the Breaking It Down with the great Frank McKay coming up. I'm your host, Tom Chalero. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through.